Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. A big part of this city's history is racism, racial polarization, and segregation. It's a matter that's examined in a series of conversations and analysis edited by our next guest. It's titled Segregation by Design, Conversations and Calls for Action. Joining me in studio are Catalina Frazius, an assistant professor at the Sam Fox School of Design and Visual Arts at Washington University. Mark Abbott is professor emeritus at Harris Stowe State University. Thank you both so much for being with us. Great to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Catalina, let me start with you. Just give me the background of this project, if you will. I know it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, the project started actually in summer 2014. At that point, WashU received a Mellon Foundation grant for that is called the Divided City. And what the Divided City intended to do is to look at different ways that segregation happens in cities. The release for the grant was happening. We had the event of Michael Brown's death. I at that point was already in conversations with Mark to see if we could join efforts in a collaboration and try to submit a proposal. The big challenge was that Mark is from Harris Stowe State University and I am from WashU. So that was the first step in trying to, in a way, break some of the barriers that exist in our city. Universities also have barriers. And I pointed out that I would prefer, if it was a possibility, to work with Harris Stowe being a HBCU.
Historically Black college.
Yes. Yeah. So they said that they were going to consider that and that I should submit the proposal and see what what was the result. So the proposal was very well received. We got the grant. And once we were sitting at the table with Mark, the first question that came to mind was, what do we exactly know about segregation? Mm-hmm. So I'm an architect. Mark is a historian. We have some knowledge about segregation, but segregation has so many shades. So that posed another question that was, who else can we bring to the table to help us make this project stronger? So we went for a second grant that is called Bring Your Own Idea. That is a grant that WashU has for, it's an internal grant for professors to talk and see the potential overlaps in research and generate more areas of research. So that's how we started to have this conversation. So I also called the provost's office and I said, can we invite, besides WashU, professors, people from other universities, politicians, nonprofits, and they said again, you can submit and we will see. So WashU was very generous. They said yes. We invited all schools at Washington University, people from the seventh school. Six of the schools were very active and they came to our lunches. And but besides that, we had every single university in the region coming and being represented at those conversations.
And the end result is about 600 pages of analysis and conversation at that. Yeah. Mark, let me turn to you. It would seem to me that if you want to look at racial polarization and segregation, St. Louis is the place to do it because we have a longstanding problem here.
Well, unfortunately, that's correct. A lot of major Supreme Court cases originated here in St. Louis. Shelley versus Kramer, the Blackjack case, Jones v. Meyer. So unfortunately, St. Louis is the place to study it. And I think one of the reasons for that is that it's so clear to see the divisions between the city and the county that a lot of things kind of just jump out at you.
The color divisions is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, while you mention the divisions between St. Louis City and County, let me ask you and ask you both, if this whole better together thing that people are talking about these days is something that is likely to help or hinder the cause of bringing people together.
Well, I'm personally for it. I recognize that there are a lot of issues And there are a lot of things that I don't like, but I think just the fact that they're proposing consolidating the court system and the police departments is huge. And that's one of the things that the Ferguson Report recommended.
Catalina, what do you think?
I agree completely with Mark. It's part of what Ferguson Report has agreed on, and I think it's a need for the city of county come together. I think that the division polarizes more the effects of segregation, and I think that I do not know if it will be the solution, but I think that in a way it will be a way to address some of the issues that we are suffering, especially in the city.
Mm. Go ahead, Mark.
And I was just going to say, even if it doesn't come to pass, I think the next 2 years should foster some very healthy conversation. Even though it was tragic, I think the death of Michael Brown could be St. Louis's Katrina moment. It could be the event that actually forces us to recognize our problems.
So the timing was sort of serendipitous for you, Catalina, because you got that grant, as you indicated, about 1 month before the Michael Brown shooting.
Yeah, well, I had a conversation with Dean Lindsay at that time. Now he's the former Dean of Architecture. And he was talking to me about this proposal that was going to be released. It was not even at the table at that point in terms of people having access. And I was working that summer from WashU. So I think that everything aligned. It was, I think the issue or the topics of segregation in St. Louis were very close to me, especially in what respects to housing segregation. I'm an architect again, and urban segregation were two things that kind of impacted me when I arrived to St. Louis. So talking about those issues that at one point when I arrived in 2002 were not at the table, and being able to talk to people because of the momentum that Michael gave us again, I think that was again, things, the stars aligned, I would say.
There is a line. I think you could come to St. Louis and not see a human being and drive around town and have a pretty good idea of how the city is segregated and kind of torn apart. You know, we mentioned the conversations make up a big part of your book. I'm one of those that has been saying for a long time, we're always talking about conversations in St. Louis to deal with the problem. We've had many conversations. But, Mark, we still have the problem.
That's true. But I think one of the things that's good about the book is that it not only talks about the causes and consequences of segregation, there is a lot of discussion about potential mitigation strategies. And it really emphasizes the need to achieve equity and how to go about doing that.
Where is the greatest division? Is it in housing? Is it in education? Is it in social justice? Is there one that is where the problem is more significant than others?
I think that in all. I think that the issue that we have, again, in terms of education and how education enables people to obtain economic wealth, so they are tied together. So it's very, you know, today we have a 1-to-20 gap in terms of wealth. So when you do not have the possibilities to succeed because you come from a system, an educational system that is broken, it's very difficult. Also, you know, housing is a big issue. The location of housing is a larger issue. So again, they come all together. Don't forget here that wherever you live, that's the school that you will attend. So those two things together make a huge impact in what we see in St. Louis today.
Mark, in going through all of this material, was there something you didn't expect to find that you found? There's an awful lot of discussion in your 600 plus page book.
Well, I guess personally, what struck me was the fact that perhaps integration isn't really what is desired by most African Americans. That it, you know, being a child of the '60s, growing up during the civil rights movement, I guess I've always assumed that integration was the desired outcome. But I think for most African Americans, they tend to focus more on equity as opposed to integration. And that, and I guess another thing about the book is that it shows just the stark division between whites and blacks and how they think about racism and about segregation. That whites tend to think of race in terms of psychology and in feelings and emotions, and as long as they don't have what they perceive as racist intent, then that absolves them of, you know, any type of responsibility. Whereas African Americans tend to see racism in social terms and in terms of power and of just inequalities, and that for them, mixing of bodies is really sort of irrelevant to what really needs to be done.
Catalina, what sort of a racial mix did you have in bringing people together for these conversations and the analysis?
We try to be very careful in trying to mix diverse point of views, backgrounds, gender, race. So all of those actually came to play. We, again, it was during the summer when they started, so it was a little bit difficult in get all the voices that we wanted, because some professors and some nonprofit organizations were not available at that time. But as much as we could, we tried to show a diverse amount of voices.
Go ahead, Mark.
So in terms of, so there were 52 participants, and I think it was pretty evenly divided between white and black and between male and female. But in terms of the essays that go along with the conversations, out of the nine, six were written by African Americans.
Well, we're going to take a break now and come back and discuss other parts of this book. There's plenty to talk about, no question about that. We will do so in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
We hope you enjoy listening to this podcast of St. Louis on the Air, brought to you by Lindenwood University's Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise, examining market approaches to help solve economic and social issues. Hammond.institute.
Now back to our conversation with Catalina Frazius of Washington University. Mark Abbott is professor of emeritus, that is, at Harris Stowe State University. You had some folks involved in your study over these last 4 or 5 years who are from out of town, correct?
Yes.
What kind of picture did they get of St. Louis?
Well, I call them the outsiders insiders. Most of them are living today out of town. But either they have lived in St. Louis for a long while, they are natives from St. Louis, or some of them, their study is about St. Louis. So they have a very interesting way of taking out the emotions that happen with people that are too proximate to St. Louis, and to talk about St. Louis from a different, I would say, perspective in that sense. So again, some of them, for example, are Jolie, who is a professor of history. He, in his essay, he's able to talk about a magazine that Washington University right now has in their archives that talks about different issues that African Americans through those pages relate and they talk about. So I think it's very interesting to hear how those things translate when you have that distance.
Yeah. Mark, what did you sense from those looking on the outside looking in, if you will? Were they surprised at how we operate here?
Well, actually, one of the essays was written by a woman who is of mixed German and Iranian descent. And her essay is talking about just her surprise of what she sees when she gets here, because she grew up during the 60s, and she thought that the United States had more or less resolved our race issues, in that driving around the city, she intuitively understood what was going on almost immediately.
How do we compare to other cities of same size, would you say? Do we have any sense of that?
Well, I mean, actually, in terms of how St. Louis ranks in terms of various segregation indices, yeah. We rank high, but not at the very top. In terms of kind of physical characteristics, I think perhaps St. Louis is more blatant about the racial division.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
I think that St. Louis has a way to portray itself to the world that is not the same way that other cities do. So I wish that St. Louisians would love their city more, and we would talk about our city in other terms. I'm not saying that by that you ignore the segregation and racism that exists in the city, but I think that talking only does not mobilize, correct? So you want that action. That's why the conversations are conversations for action. So I think that if we were talking in a different manner in the newspapers, in the news about our cities, particularly in St. Louis here, we would be able to see other results. There is a very interesting article long ago that it was what is the matter with Kansas. And in the introduction, I talk about what's the matter with St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And I pointed out that it's a little bit of lack of love to our city.
A lack of what?
Love.
Love. That's a pretty simple equation, isn't it? That's all it takes?
Well, it takes, if you love, you care.
Yeah.
So, and if you care, you produce that change.
Let's take a call. We have Jeff wants to join us from St. Anne's. So let's bring him into the conversation. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to ask your author if they have addressed any of the issues regarding it's kind of like terminology that has begun to nag at me. I used to believe I was racist because I experienced fear. Recently come to realize that African people in general do not have an effect on me. It's the culture of African Americans that has the effect on me, and I'm totally confident that it is grown out of institutionalized.
Jeff, we're going to have to end this. We have a very, very bad connection here, and we can't quite make out what you're saying. I thank you for the call. Did you hear anything there that you can or would want to react to?
No.
He said he's concerned about the effect of African American culture on him, and that has a big. I'm not quite sure. Well, unfortunately, we can't question him on that. Okay. Let's take another call, though, and try to get this one out a little bit better than the last one. Dan in Twin Oaks, go ahead.
Yes, I'm wondering why this isn't addressed as a regional issue instead of just the city and county of St. Louis. It seems like Illinois needs to be brought into the talk about it.
Dan, thanks for the call. Yes, go ahead, Catalina. You were nodding.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about different cities as well in the book. I mean, the book is central, like our central city is St. Louis. However, we do talk about Los Angeles. We do talk about Chicago, New York. And we talk also about East St. Louis, too. And for us, the important thing was to take that momentum that Michael Brown was giving us and the possibility of embrace a change through his death.
Thank you for the call, Dan. You know, I want to go back to something you alluded to a couple of minutes ago. You were talking about newspaper and news reports. What about the role of the media in all of this? Do you get into that at all and how our city is portrayed both here and outside of the region?
Not so much. I guess in terms of the conversations we were talking more about internal dynamics as opposed to media coverage, obviously that does play a role in terms of some of the structural issues.
Hmm. I kind of talk a little bit about that, as I said in the introduction, in the preface. So I do talk about how the press portrays and presents the city. But besides that, in the conversation itself, that's vaguely mentioned, correct?
All right. We have an email here from Ed in St. Charles is bringing up something I wanted to get to. It says, he writes, it seems clear that we know our condition. We know how we got here, but what is lacking is any real community-level leadership to initiate transformative change. It seems that too many of the region's leaders are willing to allow for more conversations, but without any real action. Can your guests talk about what they think we need to do? That is an issue that I said I wanted to bring up, leadership. Who are the leaders and what kind of a job are they doing?
Oh, well, that's a huge question. Again, I think a lot of it has to do with our structure of government here in St. Louis, we're so fragmented in terms of the number of municipalities and various governmental entities. Again, I'm not positive that Better Together is the answer, but I certainly know that that we need to have more of a regional approach to all of these issues. Historically, East-West Gateway was the first council of governments in the country, and potentially had the power to be the force. But over the last generation, it's clear that it hasn't been able to be the one force that could bring everybody together. So we're going to have a much stronger governmental approach, I think.
Catalina, what are your thoughts about leadership?
I think that the big issue that St. Louis has is the amount of units, of governmental units. It's very difficult when you have so many people in power to make a decision that is that has a common vision. I think that we're fighting for resources. We're fighting all the time to have a leadership without having a leadership position, if that makes sense. So I think that, you mentioned at the beginning, this issue about city-county division impacts in the way that we see that lack of leadership.
What about the religious community and the role that it plays? Which one would like?
I can start.
Okay.
I think that it was very interesting. One of the chapters that we had was talking about the role of religion. But we were trying to talk about religion in terms of the moral responsibility that we have towards each other. So I think that in terms of St. Louis, the essay that accompanies this is by Amy Van Borkel, and she does a very nice job of talking about the sermon given at a church in proximity to Ferguson after Michael's death. And what she talks in a way is how that responsibility, that in a way is also civil responsibility to the other, was in a way washed away from that sermon.
Right. Did you want to add to that, Mark?
Well, I think it's it clearly shows a division between whites and blacks just in how they think about religion and the role of religion in society. Going back to that essay, that the priest that was giving the sermon was basically saying that if we love one another and treat each other in a personal, respectful fashion, that we've done enough. But that what really needs to be emphasized is the need for restorative justice and to somehow make good in terms of the wrongs that have been perpetuated.
As our time winds down, Catalina, what other conclusions were reached as a result of all of the work that you've done here with regard to advancing a solution to the problem, some of which we've heard here, but what are some of the others?
I think that I always want to have hopes, and I think that, Michael gave me hope. I think that his death and the release of Ferguson's path forward, I think that it's an interesting way of churning and seeding and having an opportunity for that change. I think that St. Louis is at this point, in that kind of state of mind. So I see only opportunities in the future, mm-hmm. and I hope for that.
Mark?
I think I agree with that. I think that while Ferguson was a tragic event that perhaps it is going to be the catalyst to bring about real change in the region.
What happens now with the book? As I mentioned, it's a hefty book. It's 600 or so pages. And it's something that people should read, I suppose. But what do you want to happen with this? Where is it going to go so that people can take advantage of all the information that you've gathered?
The second part of the book is the course. We teach and we co-teach. We have been co-teaching for 3-4 years already, Segregation by Design. So those are our voices, the new generation, the students at Washington University and Harrisstow who collaboratively make plans for different neighborhoods at the city, that they work with the neighborhood to understand the dynamics that exist and why are we the way that we are. Mm-hmm. Bringing solutions, trying to see how we can mitigate those effects of consequences of segregation through time.
After all you've learned, are you optimistic that these issues can be resolved?
I am. I think that the more that you talk, you have opportunities to change. The more that you hide those issues, the least opportunities you will have for those changes to happen.
Mark, are you optimistic?
Oh, I think I am. I think the course has made me more optimistic than maybe I was before, that I see a real interest by the students in bringing about change.
Yeah, that's where it's got to start. It's got to start with the young people, right?
Yep.
All right.
That's correct.
I want to thank you both for being with us and keeping this subject alive. It never goes away, but the more we talk about it, the more opportunity we'll have to solve some of these issues. Needless to say, Catalina Frazius, thank you for being with us. Congratulations on the book. She's from Washington University, and Mark Abbott is Professor Emeritus at Harrisstow State University. Thank you once again. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.